The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. In order to stay ahead in business, you need to be on the pulse of the business world, current news, and politics. We'll provide the thought-provoking topics and show you where we have been, what's next, and what it means for you at home. Life's complicated. Let Andy help you figure it out. Now, here is your host, Andy Bush.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. I'll be your host and guide into this world of politics and money. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast for free on iTunes. Just search for Engage with Andy Bush in the iTunes store. If you'd like more information on today's show and its guests, visit andrewbush.com or follow me on Twitter at ABUSCH. In this segment, we cover currencies in the global markets with a man who has been in the foreign exchange markets for over 30 years. Eddie Topic is the head of foreign exchange at ADM Investor Services International and is the master of disaster when it comes to currencies. Eddie, welcome back to Engage.
Hey, Andy. It's great to speak to you. Great to be on again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's always good to hear your voice and a voice of clarity when it comes to currencies. And we got a lot to talk about today, Eddie. Hey, on Wednesday of this week, we had a big change in currency policy by one of the major central banks. The Bank of Japan Governor Kuroda said that the current level of the Japanese yen's RER, R-E-E-R, real effective exchange rate, is too cheap. And it's unlikely that Japan's RER depreciates further. On that day, the U.S. dollar against the Japanese yen fell from 124 to 122. Eddie, does this signal the end of yen depreciation?
Well, I can understand why he spoke about that, because he has in his mind not the bigger companies, but the smaller Japanese companies who have been hit by the depreciation in the yen, the stronger dollar. That, though, doesn't necessarily tie in with what Prime Minister Abe is going to be going on with the Abenomics and the three arrows policy.
Right.
It makes me wonder, and it was quite delayed. I mean, the move up happened a week before that, and it was already heading back down. Why did you need to say anything else? It could have just let the market naturally do it, rather than producing and introducing excess volatility in what was basically a quiet market in the previous session.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
No, it strikes me as being unnecessary, though I can understand his concern. Maybe there's some politics involved in this, maybe some other areas, but the dollar has been growing stronger against everything. It's not just against the yen.
Right, of course. Well, I guess, taking a step back from this, I mean, what does this comment say really about further Bank of Japan quantitative easing? Because many people at the beginning of the year were pointing to the summer for the Bank of Japan to come out with additional easing to get their economy going and get inflation higher. Do you think that pretty much, that's it from the Bank of Japan? Do you expect anything more from them?
It depends who's running the policy. Is it going to be the politicians or is it the Bank of Japan?
Right.
The most managed of all the currencies that's freely traded. It's very, very politically motivated by various agencies that are accessing on behalf of government. But who's actually dictating the policy? Is it the Bank of Japan or is it the Prime Minister in his office? And that's really not come through. And again, it's the dollar has been going up against lots of things. It's not just against the yen. It spiked up a week beforehand, but it was heading back down. It was an unnecessary act, which would have happened anyway, possibly, in the next few days. So maybe there's more sort of things there for the smaller companies to sort of see that Kuroda's looking out for them rather than anything else.
Well, maybe it's just the speed of it, but it certainly kind of goes against what the Bank of Japan wants, and certainly what Abe wants as the Prime Minister, which is to get higher inflation, right? I mean, isn't that one of the things that they're trying to do? And inflation has been has fallen back to essentially zero.
Exactly. They've already today, earlier today, I think, or yesterday, they came out with a comment saying that they're proposing a draft 2017 hike in the sales tax from 8 to 10%. Now, that's further down the line, but it's not going to help inflation. Not going to start those savings moving into the market if you're going to start a situation where the yen is going to be appreciating and everybody's happy staying where it is and not moving their savings.
Yeah, and that's been the story. I mean, truly, I mean, we all, the overarching story of what Abe's trying to do with his three arrows is to generate economic growth. And clearly they did. They got two out of the three. They didn't come through with the economic reform. And one of the big things this week, too, is the vote in the House of Representatives likely to be on the Trade Promotion Authority, which would get us closer to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would aid Japan, right? I mean, that would help, you know, estimates that I've seen, it would help grow their economy somewhere between 1% to 2%. So that's all part of Abe's plan. But, I mean, if they're already hedging on the currency and already kind of saying, way too much too fast here, that hurts the effort to get the economy rolling and inflation up. So I guess to your point, that's where the rubber meets the road is the disconnect between the government and the Bank of Japan.
That's my concern. That is really my concern. At the moment, until recently, they're all speaking from the same playbook. They're all going the same direction, and everything was working well as much. As you say, two out of three, but then a lot of politicians would settle for two out of three. but then suddenly you get this situation where it's, why would you need to say that? What was the point of it? It just strikes me as being a bit out. I can understand, again, for the smaller companies in Japan, maybe it's for domestic consumption. But internationally, it leaves everybody scratching their head a little bit going, why would you say that?
Yeah. I know in the currency markets, we do that a lot. We scratch like, what?
Yeah.
you know,
followed by, he just said, what?
Exactly. It's like listening to my teenager explain why he wrecked the car. What? You did what? Say that again? Where do you think the yen goes from here? I mean, I know this is these are really difficult questions for people out there. Anybody who asks, like, the direction of the currency, you really have to provide a time frame. So I'm just saying, Eddie, over the next month, because beyond that is really difficult to project. Well, what do you think? Where do you think this does? Are we hemmed in now at 125 as the top, maybe get down to test 120?
Prior to this, I would have said everybody in the street would have turned around and said the top end is going to be 129, 130. Mm-hmm. If they've started to hit the brakes early over 125, then it leaves a little bit of cause for concern. I personally think for the next few days, maybe for the rest of the month, we may see the market drop down 121, 120 and a half area possibly, hold up there before maybe another attempt higher. But at the moment, it's staying steady after the shock.
Okay.
It's not really understanding what it wants to do. Resistance is like 123.65 up to 124.5. Support, that's really below the market, around about the 122 area.
Excellent. Okay, cool. Well, you know, in the same vein, let's talk about Europe for a little bit, because on Tuesday, the ECB came out with a report that stated that a weaker currency doesn't necessarily boost exports. I guess, the way that I look at this is this paper's release kind of a subtle way for the ECB to kind of pile on here and say, you know, enough is enough on the euro devaluation?
I personally have my doubts about anybody who says that's it, because whatever they may write, all the central bankers and many bankers indeed believe that's how you actually help your economy by weakening your currency. And then let's look at the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is still Greece. That's still going on. Everybody's still arguing. They're throwing their toys out of the pram, and nobody knows exactly what it is. We're getting closer and closer to a deadline, then the deadline gets kicked down the road, and there's another deadline, and we get closer and closer to that, and it's an ongoing situation. It's a perpetual state of disharmony at the moment.
I love that. That's a great image, by the way. Throwing the toys out of the pram. I love that. And I would say that's so appropriate given the leaders in Greece just don't want to face up to the fact that they really do have to compromise and they have to engage in providing austerity plans to be able to cut government spending and cut government subsidies, which they don't want to do because that's unpopular. Is the ultimate outcome not necessarily that Greece leaves the Eurozone right now, but actually that we have another election in Greece because they can't make a decision, the current leaders?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the support which got them in is dissipated to a great degree, and the left wing of that party or the group of parties there are starting to pull away, and at some point there will be another election, I think. The situation over there is it's not just them. All the parties involved have acted like children at various points. Yeah. And I'm not talking just about the Greeks, I'm talking about the Europeans in this. Figure it out, sort it out. Ultimately, the Greeks, in many ways, are playing a very, very clever game because they're banking on the European Union, the Eurozone as such, not destroying the euro over the 7.2 billion euros. They would not destroy the currency over just that. And that's right. What you really they're saying. They will keep it. It's very clever in its own way. It is a game of brinkmanship, but you can only do brinkmanship for so long before somebody actually calls you bluff.
Well, I think that's. I think we're going to see just more of this elongation of the process of getting to the finish line, and I think it's just going to be a painful bleed. It'll always be out there. So I guess to your point on the euro, down to 105, we went back up to almost 115. It seems to have a broad trading range here, 105 to 115.
100% right.
Yeah, you think? It's volatile, right? I mean, we have pretty sharp reactions here.
Yeah. You have massive movements of 2 cents in one day on very little news, but there is very, very little news, and liquidity itself is drying up. People. The liquidity out there for people to trade is causing verve excess because nobody really knows what's going on. The politicians are in control and they're not telling anybody, or nobody believes what they're telling anyway, because they don't. It's one portion of the view. It's not the complete view. There's no dispassionate third party saying this is actually what's happening.
Right.
Everybody's coming out with their own version, and there's rumors and counter rumors. And to be honest, everybody's getting fatigued with the whole lot anyway. It's more of a plague on both your houses sort of situation, I think, from a lot of the market. But I think at the moment you're absolutely right. 115, 105, it doesn't seem unreasonable. I don't think we'll have a Grexit as many talk about. We're having our own issues over here with Brexit, the British possibly
right.
Leaving the EU, but that's way down the line still, and that's for a different time. But in this particular instance, I think that literally we're going to be moving within a range until we get some definitive, yes, it's sorted out sort of conversation. And I do think it will be sorted out because ultimately they would be foolish to just destroy a whole... 10 more than that? It's close. Yeah, it's around about 98, I think it was. So we're talking around about nearly 20 years worth of a currency when just for 7.2 billion.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the sound you would hear from a frustrated West Ham fan. I just want to point out Eddie's exasperation at what is going on with Greeks. Eddie,
maybe
I know
I
you were.
Do what we do and get a new manager.
That's right. If it was just that simple. If it was just that simple. All right. I know you were just in Brazil, so I got it. We just got a couple minutes left here. Let's talk about Brazil because you were down there. You were in São Paulo, I believe. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what's happening there because the economy shrunk in the first quarter, and it's expected to be a minus 1.2% for the year. What is going on in that country?
It's the fallout from the car wash scandal, the Petrobras situation. I think that's tainted all the politicians. I mean, the thing which I remember was going through from the airport to the hotel in the car and seeing graffiti you see everywhere, and it's quite colorful, some of the ones in Brazil. And it was the Brazilian flag, the green, the blue, and the sky in blue. And normally it has the words order and progress, order and progress, or written on it. And somebody had just literally put the word corrupção, corruption. And I think that's in a word, how everybody feels. They feel fed up with being mistreated and treated as if their children, all the money being taken, sucked out of everything.
Yeah.
That being said, in recent times, the currency has strengthened after a pretty rough period. It's staying around about a 3 level. It's indecisive. It doesn't really know where it wants to go, further lower or go further higher. I think that the economy is not doing as well as people think. I think the numbers are not really reflective of how the bump has really hit on the economy. Maybe it will do in months to come, but at the moment, it's all being patched over because in many ways, it's bread and circuses. The political situation is taking people's eye away from the economic situation.
Mm.
And the economic situation needs more help. Unless we have a significant stimulus package in China, then Brazil will suffer. And the recent strength has been because there's been rumors of a stimulus package coming in China, maybe in the next couple of months or so. And that's why we look at that. And it's not just in Brazil. It's the BRICS, all the other emerging market currencies, which are extractive economies, even places like Canada and Australia. If China puts through a stimulus package, then you're going to see a situation where those will benefit. That being said, there's a hell of a lot of money being put into the system in China at the moment because they've had, I think, the biggest round of government flotations, IPOs, for years. And everybody's looking. You had, I think it was the nuclear, the government nuclear agency, issue their IPO, and then the first day it goes limit up to 44% or something like that.
Yeah, that is just crazy stuff. All right, let's end it there, Eddie. I got to get you back on. I love the way you connect Brazil to China, and I think that's such an important point. So, Eddie Topic from AD Investor Services, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Andy. Great to speak to you.
Have a good one. All right, if you'd like more information on today's show and its guests, visit andrewbush.com or follow me on Twitter @abush. Let's take a short break. I'm Andy Bush. This is Engage.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
If you want to learn how to be a better leader, increase your level of business performance, and motivate your team and organization more effectively, listen for Performing at Your Best, Mindset Evolution with Luis Vicente Garcia. Luis Vicente and his guests will share their expertise and enthusiasm in helping you to succeed. It's combining that drive with business skills that will do just that. Tune in live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.